Why should you visit TheChairShot.com? TheChairShot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis with attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.
Becoming a pro wrestling fan, folks, it starts as a small, happy, warm feeling in the pit of your stomach till eventually it becomes full rolling wildfire. Zooms our lives, cannot, would not, and will not have it any other way. I'm serious at the most official of this podcast. Folks, of course, I'm at my round table. Lethal Day and Jordan Cover, but folks, we're going to get straight to the D here. From venue to venue, every fan, this wonderful world of wrestling has the privilege to see some of the best. Well, no matter where it's going, he's always a star. Welcome the man with many nicknames. Here he is, a wrestler, the most entertaining man in pro wrestling, and now Children's Podcast, Genesis Alumni product. Star, how are we doing tonight, sir?
Yo, what's up, man? I'm feeling pretty good. I just ate some homemade mushroom meatballs, so I'm pumped and full.
That sounds really good. I had out in 2 days, actually. Bad.
Yeah. Good way to finish things off.
Absolutely. Well, I had you to my own table. I've got our New Japan correspondent, Lethal Day,
on. Hey, Mr. R, how you doing today, man?
Hey, what's going on, man?
Not so much. Thanks for coming on the show.
And then I've got my Ring of Honor and Impact correspondent, Jordan G. Rogers, is on the line.
Hello?
Not that I'm on the line. Well, hey. We're going to start off quick because I kind of want to get to what you just came back from, and that's the WXW, the World Extreme Wrestling 16-karat gold tournament. Now, this is something that they've been doing. This is something they've been doing since, I think, 2006, if I'm not mistaken.
There's been quite a few. It's got quite a lineage.
Absolutely, and usually everyone looks forward to it. It's always blowing up Twitter, blowing up social media. Could you tell the folks at home that don't know by chance what about this tournament, what it's about, and exactly the lineage of it and how grand it really is?
Well, WWE 16 karat is, as what they call it, and it's pretty much been deemed this by the wrestling fans themselves, it's the biggest wrestling tournament in Europe. The biggest one. This year had 1,000 plus people in attendance for three straight days. Increase, and it was so. It's just the craziest thing imaginable. You have German fans and Irish fans and people flying from all over Europe, all over the world to come and see this. And there's a huge English fan base that comes to it. There's a reason why WXW has gotten to where it's gotten to. They run more shows than any other independent show I can think of in a calendar year. I think last year they had like 70 shows that they ran.
Oh, wow.
Built mostly around homegrown talent. They have a great weekly program called Shotgun. They have a really good subscription network, WXW Now. It kind of all culminates at 16 Karat, where they bring in guys from all over the world. I mean, 2 years ago, Zack Jr. won it. The year before that, Tommy End won it. Chris Hero is a multiple-time winner. Walter has won 16 carat. You've had El Generico has won 16 carat. You've had just the top guys who've ever been involved with professional wrestling on the high independent level have gone through 16 carat gold. It's just a really great place really great place to be. It's such a huge deal. The production value that WXW puts out on every show, specifically, though, with 16 karat, is second to none. Just everything is so professional. Like, everybody gets that dream. You get to walk out on stage at 16 karat, and you feel like a real professional wrestler. Because there's some guy, this year I was fortunate enough to be in the finals, and I had, like,
yes, sir.
Pyro. I got, like, pyro for my entrance and stuff like that, and they have specific,
nice.
Like, videos they make. It's just so nuts. It's just nuts, man. It's the best. 16 karat is a great weekend. And you get to sell a lot of T-shirts and stuff, so that's always really good, too.
And there's nothing wrong with that. A little bit of cash in the pocket.
No.
And now, how does, like, I'm sure other pro wrestlers have a way of kind of, like, you know, holding it down. But when you kind of step out and the pyro's going and you got the crowd just going fucking nuts, how do you kind of, like reel it in? You know what I mean? Kind of, like, stop yourself from just standing there for 15 minutes straight in awe.
I mean, you have to, I think you almost have to have those moments for yourself. Like, if you lose that bit where you, if you lose that wrestling fan that's inside you, then what's the point of doing it anymore?
Right.
Like, you have to think of it in that cool kind of way. You have to stop and smell the coffee every once in a while. Like, it's, so you do get those, like, it was pretty cool to, like, I took a moment where I was sitting there and, like, the pyro I had was like the Goldberg pyro, like the one with like the, like looks like sparks kind of coming out each side. So it was, so I got to see that and I did take a moment to like look and I was like, oh shit, like this is cool. And now I have pictures of me walking with these cool sparks flying around me. So it's super sweet.
Oh, yeah.
But you have to maintain that. So you have to keep your cool and understand you still are supposed to be like a larger than life person. And on the same note, you have to kind of embrace the fact that you're doing something you could only dream about. So there is a fine line to walk there, but you just don't let yourself get caught up in it, I guess, too much.
Sure. And we're all sitting there going, what? I mean, I don't know about you, Lethal J, but I try to, like, in my head, anytime I hear a song, like, I cannot listen to Pandora without, like, thinking of me doing some kind of entrance to the ring. It's just ridiculous. They really should have one of those
motto to your life, basically.
Yeah. Sucks. Like, I think Avenged Sevenfold on Pandora is now, like, just WWE, like, entrance themes. I don't know how it went over to that. I guess it just...
Well, what's your entrance song?
I don't have one. I'm just saying, like,
no,
I normally...
Come on, you do. You do, though. What's your entrance song?
I won't lie to you, dude. Like, Avenged Sevenfold, This Means War, is, like, one of my favorite songs. Like, I feel like it would just be
okay.
One of those, like, crowd songs. You know, like how Finn Balor, for example, you know, he has a song that kind of goes with the crowd. It's part of the crowd. The crowd can, like, just enjoy it. And
sure.
I don't know. I just think that would be rad. I don't know. That's just me. Lethal J. What about you, Lethal J?
Yeah, what's everyone?
No, I mean, hands down, Africa. Toto. I'm not even kidding. There's something about that song that just gets me so pumped. I don't know. I just, like, I would just, I think it would confuse people more than anything. I'd already have the match won.
Well, besides yours, Mr. Star, is there a song like you just kind of, you want to, you're just like, I or not, I'm going to save it for, you know, just one, the epic pinnacle moment in your career?
No, the next time I'll change my, anytime I would change my song at this point, would only be because I have a really good custom-made, specific-to-me song. I really don't see myself changing the Joan Jett Do You Want to Touch song. I think that, like, the funniest thing is that we kind of lose ourselves in our own bubble, and we think that things, like, get over, when in reality they don't. I'm fortunate enough to wrestle for some of, like, the really, really big independent wrestling companies, but there isn't a ton of crossover with all these places. There is some, but independent wrestling fans in general, like, who was I talking to about this? And I was talking to a couple people about how many true independent wrestling fans are going to be at WrestleMania weekend. Like, and we kind of came to this idea where at the most, it's probably just like, it's probably around like six to somewhere between 6,000 to 10,000 at most.
Oh, wow.
That's not that, you know what I mean? Like, that's a lot of people.
That's not that, yeah, that's a lot of people, but in comparison, not, that's really not that much. Right, right.
Right, you know what I mean? So, a lot of, we get lost in our own bubble. What I was saying is, like, because we think something gets over and it doesn't. So you just have to keep going with it until, even if you think like, oh, maybe it's been dragged on. It hasn't, because people haven't heard it. They don't know it yet. So I, when I first heard my song, the Joan Jett, Do You Want to Touch song, when I first heard it, one of the things I thought about was how in the chorus says, like, do you want to, yeah, do you want to touch? Yeah. And I said to myself, I was like, oh, yeah, I could see fans doing the yeah to the song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
And it only started happening within the past, like, 2 months. And I've been using that song for 4 years now, and it only started happening the past 2 months. And that was with a German crowd, and that was with, like, an English crowd. So it's like – or a British crowd, I should say. It's not – I'm going to walk out to my next show. I'm in Chicago on Friday, and no one's going to do it. Like, it's just not it's kind of like I always thought that's what's going to get my song over, and that's what's going to get that over. No. No. William Regal just tweeted the other day how he hates the song because I think it's because of Gary Glitter, you know, because Gary Glitter, not a good guy. But tell you what, he wrote a couple of really good songs. You know, come on. So I think that you have to just keep on going with that all the time.
Now, since we're talking about, you know, good promotions, obviously, we're WXW. There's been other promotions that you've had some personal issues with, and forgive me, I forgot the name, but there was a UK promotion that actually used your name, said that David Starr's come and sold the tickets, and then ended up canceling the show on you, and on the fans. It was kind of a shitstorm.
What promotions? I think it was called Pride. Pride's basically out of business now, thank God.
Okay.
Yeah. They were known for doing this. That situation was like, I had a weekend off and I was in the UK, I think. I had a weekend off and I was in the UK and WXW. I asked them, cause I just went through all my research. I was like, hey, do you guys know any places that are running this weekend? Then they found a couple places. One of which was Wrestle Midlands, which unfortunately turned out to be a big scumbag as well. Not treated me fine, but turned out to be just like not a good dude. It was a total nonce. The next place, Pride, advertised me, did all that. We're selling tickets based on me being on the poster. We're sharing the poster up until the day of the show and including on the day of the show. And then they canceled me off the show without actually contacting me. And the only reason I found out was because the person that was supposed to drive me to the show was at the show I was at the night before with that place, Wrestle Midlands. And then when I went to him, I was like, oh, hey, so we're going to be riding together to the show tomorrow. And I was supposed to stay at his house for the night. He was like, wait, you're not on the show. I was like, what are you talking about? I absolutely am. Then he showed me the messages from the promoter, who I actually forget his name because he's worthless.
Seriously though.
Yeah, and it was him telling him that I was off the show, didn't need me. He didn't tell me that. And then Pride did it to a couple other people. They didn't give any refunds to the fans. They didn't do anything like that. So just real, real terrible place, which I'm happy they're out of business because they were just deceiving fans and hurting a lot of people that are trying to make money.
Yeah, absolutely. And that's why I brought it up, to be honest with you, because I didn't know if they were still in business or not. And I kind of wanted to give everyone a heads up, like, hey, watch out for these fuckheads because.
Yeah,
you know.
I don't think they are. I think they went out. I think they went out of business. I think they were just shut down shop. But yeah, they were in Plymouth, which is like very far south in England. And yeah, terrible. What a
scum dude. Yeah, he still owes me my money, though. So he won't ever give it to me, but I will always hold that to him that I need that. I'm owed that.
And kick him in the junk, too. He deserves a kick in the junk. You get the money. You say
and
you're a fucktard.
Yeah.
Right in the junk. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's deserved, man.
Yeah. Yeah.
If David Starr's walking through, you know, walking down the street and he sees whoever, who does David Starr geek out for? Like, you see this person and you're just like, holy shit, that's David Hasselhoff or whoever, you know, I mean.
I would totally geek out for David Hasselhoff. I would totally. Because that's such a random, see, that's like the most random person you could possibly pick. And I think I'd be like, oh, holy shit, David Hasselhoff. You'd have to also think about, what a great question. You'd also have to think about the fact that it would have to be somebody obscure enough to walk through a place that there are a lot of people and people might not recognize them because they're able to do that just freely, right? Because I'm thinking about this scenario. I'm going in detail here. Let's think about it. So who would I, like, totally geek out for if I saw them, a celebrity?
Winnie Cooper.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about it. Yep, shut up. My buddy Zach here, and he just fed me an answer, which is exactly correct. Yeah, it'd be Danica McKellar, who played Winnie Cooper on The Wonder Years.
Oh, sweet answer.
I would see her and immediately propose to her, and then we would just live together forever and just be the happiest couple of all time. I think that's pretty much. So I gotta find a place to run into Danica McKellar.
And also, yeah, you would have a David Starr like voiceover as well. So you're going through your life, and then you just be like, "Oh, as I was going to the bathroom to brush my teeth, I realized, oh fuck, it was our anniversary." You know, just something that's, you know.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, I think
it's gotta be narrated.
I think I just like I take that voice, you know.
That is the perfect voice, man. I don't know what it is.
I don't know whose voice it was for the Wonder Years.
It was one of the dudes in Home Alone, not Joe Pesci.
The other guy? Wait, it was one of the Wet Bandits?
Yeah.
Really?
What's that guy's name? Yeah, what's that guy's name? Not Joe Pesci.
He was on City Slickers too, I think. I'm gonna fucking look this up real quick.
That's the guy who did the voice for the Wonder Years?
I'm almost positive.
No way. His voice was way nice.
Folks, if you're tuning in right now, we've got David Starr hanging out with us, and we are right now trying to figure out the voice of the Wonder Years.
Who narrated the Wonder Years?
Yeah.
Kevin Arnold?
Because it's not like How I Met Your Mother. Like, they got someone really famous. Like, Bob Saget did the How I Met Your Mother one, right?
Yeah, Bob Saget did How I Met Your Mother, yeah.
This is him? So you're definitely talking. Voiceover, we got it right here.
Daniel Stern.
Yeah, Daniel Stern.
Yeah.
No shit.
Wow.
Well, that's –
how did you
learn something new every day.
Wow.
That's like one of those random – yeah. That's awesome.
I can't get the image of him as the Wet Bandit. Like, or the Sticky Bandit, whatever. He called them those. Yeah, they're both kind of.
It was both.
I just can't. I can't get the image of him actually after he got electrocuted with his hair popping out like crazy. Him doing the voiceover of Kevin Arnold.
But the one image I get is when he steps on the nail, on the tar nail. Yeah, that's fucking shitty. We do this little thing that. What's that?
Kevin McAllister should have was a killer. Like those, but Joe Pesci and Daniel Stern should have died.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it happened to them twice. Like, come the fuck on.
I remember watching that as I was older and just thinking, man, I was like, holy shit. I was like, how did these guys how did they not die in this movie?
Yeah.
Getting smashed in the face with paint cans and oh man, it's crazy watching.
If I step on a Lego, I'm out for at least a week. It's just ridiculous.
You have to look up. There's like a fake movie trailer of Home Alone, but they put it to like a darker horror movie
soundtrack thing.
Oh, okay,
it's as if Kevin McAllister is this evil killer going after these bandits.
Well, hey, Miss David Starr, we do this thing on the show. It's called Word Association, and I just spit out some words, and whatever comes to your mind first, you just spit it right back out. Sound good?
Okay, let's do it. Let's do it. First thing that comes to mind, it's just that. Okay.
First one, girlfriends.
Friends? Is it girlfriends?
Yeah, doesn't girlfriends. Ask? Just girlfriends all together.
The first thing that comes to my mind with that, I totally blanked out. The first thing I thought of girlfriend, I thought of my girlfriend's name, which is so dumb. I hate it.
She's the
devil.
Okay, that's not a normal answer.
I guess I'll say Isabel. Isabel.
All right. Let's go with favorite movie.
I have a top five, top six movie list, like, laid out.
Oh, man, well, let's hear them. We got to hear this.
Number six is, I had top five, and I just added one to number two. So I it's better to go from two to number one. I'm trying to remember what it all was, because I had it all laid out. Number six is Rocky.
Very good.
Number five is The Godfather.
That's perfect.
Number four is Goodfellas. Number three is Forrest Gump. Number two is Django, and number one is Pulp Fiction.
Very nice. That literally sounds like my Columbia house order back when I was. Back a few years ago. That's really, really close.
Mine would be that,
and then Buns of Steel. Buns of Steel would go right, probably in between, maybe like three or four. I don't know.
You gotta have them in. Yeah.
Let's go with the word. Juicy.
What word do I think of when I hear juicy?
Yes. I'm kind of leading you on this one.
Are you trying to get me to talk about, like, a tag team that I'm...
That's yes, sir.
Okay, sure. Sure, well, like, okay, well, ask away.
Juicy product. You and JT Dunn. What was it like working with JT Dunn? You guys seem to be a pretty viable... well-oiled machine, and you guys just recently got back together for a show. What's it like working with him? I had him on the show once. He seems like a decent dude, and his spirit animal is the snow leopard.
He loved leopard print stuff. Mostly his thongs that he wears, that's probably why he channels it. No, JT's an unreal good wrestler. You know, he's extremely talented. He's good. He's well versed in just about every style there is. He can have a good match with most people. His cells are. He's really cool. He's really good with that. He's different in that regard. Like, he puts out really good quality content. You know, and he's a good promo. He does have a voice that sounds like he just recently smoked six pack cigarettes consecutively. we had a good run as a tag team. It was some good stuff. The thing that's really weird about when people, like, because a lot of people bring up Juicy Products still, but in the grand scheme of things, one, we weren't together very long, and two, we did some cool stuff, but we really didn't do that much in reality. Like, we were CZW tag champs, you were FIP tag champ. We did like a run in WSU where we had a good angle, good storyline with Kimberly and Annie Social. We did stuff for like NYWC, but that's mostly like a feeder promotion. We had some cool matches at Beyond, like with a feud with the Bucks and stuff. But like, we didn't really break out of the Northeast scene, really, or the East Coast scene, I should say. So it is kind of weird how people bring it up. Like, it's such – people have fond memories of it. So that's pretty cool that we were able to have that lasting impression on people. We had a really good time for when we were tagging, and then the resulting feud that we had was cool. Like, we had some good matches. Yeah, and we did one tag match recently. I guess it was a couple months ago. Then we were supposed to do another one, but then JT unfortunately got hurt the day before we were supposed to do it.
God damn.
Yeah. So, it's something that people seem to have fond memories of. So yeah.
And that's cool, though. Right. Well, I mean, when a tag team sells themselves, or singles, or anyone for that matter, when they sell themselves, I mean, it only takes, you know, one time for a fan to have that kind of showmanship, like, burned into their minds, and they'll remember it. And that's what you guys did. There's just, you know, two amazing wrestlers going out there doing it and selling the fuck out of it. And that's why I think everyone brings it up, man. Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, I'm more than happy to have something that sticks to people, you know?
Well, besides, there's a lot more that David Starr has to offer, that's for sure. Pet peeves, sir. What are some pet peeves other than, you know, podcasters asking silly questions?
trust me, your questions, though, if you're – obviously, you're having some self-deprecating humor. Applause.
Yeah, well, you got to.
But I tell you what, it's better than the so when did you start your wrestling career?
I almost asked you.
No, you didn't.
No, I did. I swear.
No. Oh, so pet peeve, though, people that dry off outside of the shower.
Really?
You dry off in the shower. You shower. You have a mat out there. You take the towel. You dry off while you're standing in the tub.
Can you tell people your unreal belief about mustard and beasts?
It's not an unreal belief. It's the fact. The mustard thing is real. Like, that's the thing.
I got to hear this.
Pet peeve is definitely the shower thing. I think that's definitely a pet peeve of mine. It's like, why? Because you're not supposed to dry off. You're not supposed to get the mat wet. Like, it's there, like, for a little bit. You're not supposed to, like, just, why don't you... What's the point of having a fucking mat then? You know what I mean? Just take the water, dump it all over the goddamn floor. Who cares, right? What's the difference?
And
it's there to get wet, right? No, it's not.
I guarantee, like, the protection. Statistics of people falling outside of the shower because of people wetting the mats is high. At least in the 4 or 5%. It's fucking true. I can almost get
it. No, that's way too high for people falling outside the shower. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about because he's slipping. I'm talking about this because of common sense. Like, you just don't do it. You are already in a place that is made to hold water. Like, the tub is supposed to be wet. It's going
right.
To, like, just dry off in it. Then when you get out, you, like, there's no problem. Just get out when you're dry.
But, folks, you heard it here. If you ever go to David Starr's house and use his shower, you can dry off in the shower because he's probably going to put some product placement on it.
I tell you what, so the first time my girlfriend was over at my house, she gets there and she ends up, I think it was either the next day or that day, she showers. And she gets out, and then when I walk in the bathroom, she had her towel on or whatever, and she's, like, using Q-tips on her. And then I just feel the ground. I could feel it was wet. And I was like, hey, do you mind next time you shower, just dry off while you're in the shower still? She goes, oh, is that one of your things? I was like, you know what? I didn't realize it was one of my things until you just did it. So this is definitely one of my things. Yeah, so now officially, I will announce it now as my number one pet peeve.
But you know what, though? Your buddy there, he said something about mustard, and I can't let it go. What's the deal about the mustard? I got to know, man.
Almost getting a fight over mustard.
Yeah, because it's gross. Mustard is the spawn of Satan, okay? It absolutely
like all mustards, like honey mustard, like
yeah,
all, the whole lot, the whole line.
Listen, every single one of these stupid mustard advocates always tries to be like, oh, you don't like mustard, but what about honey mustard? Yeah, honey mustard too. It's the fucking devil. So, one, here's the biggest – no, the big thing I don't like about mustard is it doesn't taste good in any form. It doesn't taste good at all on anything. Not good. Doesn't smell good. Also, doesn't look good. There's nothing appealing about it whatsoever. Mustard can eat every bag of dicks that exists out there. All of them. Mustard can take it all. Yeah. So, anyway, the other thing about mustard is – that every single time I voluntarily eat mustard, voluntarily and knowingly eat mustard, not mustard like mixed in with a recipe, like pure mustard. Every time I've eaten it on purpose, I've gotten stung by bees. And the only time I've ever gotten stung by bees is when I've eaten mustard. So... it is a thing. It may be entirely coincidental. Maybe. But I don't believe in coincidence. So I have made this connection, and it's how it is. And it's also doesn't – but again, more importantly, it doesn't taste good. But the bees thing definitely plays a factor.
Well, that's probably that could be the reason why there's always bees around barbecues. It's that fucking mustard. It's the one person that leaves the mustard lid open. They don't got the fucking time to close it.
Yeah, you know what? Here's the thing that I'm going to say. If you allow mustard in your household, you are making your family susceptible to bee stings. You are responsible for that. So if you can live with that blood in your hands, don't surprise you're not swarmed by bees, Zach.
Eat fucking
mustard.
French's.
Probably,
French's just went down in stock.
Tub of mustard.
Oh my gosh.
Yeah, I have them. Do you know who Giancarlo Didimo is? He's a videographer. He does all the stuff for like Janela Spring Break. He does a bunch of CZW videos before. He's done a lot. Every cool wrestling vignette that's been out in the past like 2 years has been made by Giancarlo Didimo or Kenny Johnson, but Giancarlo is the one who does like the super cool vignettes and stuff.
We were at the diner, and Giancarlo, as a joke, he's like, "Let's try honey mustard. It's not even mustard." And
see this cancerous attitude of honey mustard not being equivalent to mustard. Ugh.
And David literally was like, "Get it away from me!" Freaking out. So as a joke, Giancarlo poured a little bit of mustard, the smallest minute amount of mustard you've ever seen, onto his chicken finger, and they almost Giancarlo almost caught those hands.
I was ready to fight.
Holy shit!
I'm the
same way. I'm the same way with mayonnaise. I can't handle mayonnaise. I think it's mind control from the government.
Because you like mustard and don't like mayonnaise, and mayonnaise is incredible. So I don't even know if we can be on the phone anymore.
Holy crap! Well, I'll spend my like for mustard for just this interview. Mustard fucking sucks, and it's the devil.
Yeah.
Is that all right? Word. Well, wow. before we have you tell everyone at home where we can see David Starr next, I had to ask you a question from our listener. Our listener sent in a question. Her name is Tara Daly. She asked, how are your matches with Dave Crist in your hometown and then at CCW in the no DQ match?
How were they in my hometown? I've never wrestled Dave in my hometown. I wrestled him in his hometown.
Maybe that's what it was. I may have misread it. I apologize.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, because I wrestled him in Dayton, Ohio a bunch of times for Rockstar and for CZW. And wrestling Dave is always is always awesome. I mean, we had the match that went 104 minutes was with Dave from Rockstar Pro in Dayton, Ohio. I've had 2 out of 3 falls matches with him. I've had a bunch of different tag matches. I've had no DQ. Wrestling Dave is always a pleasure. The no DQ match in CZW is actually one of my favorite matches I've ever had. Dave is extremely underrated as a performer. And I'm happy to see him and his brother get their just due with their TNA stuff going on now.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I can just say that I love wrestling Dave. Yeah, he's great.
Hell yeah. We ask all of our interviews just to give us one road story. I call it their favorite campfire story. Just the one story that you always go to. It's your go-to story, your favorite story. And you don't have to. And that's it. No, go ahead.
I have to think about which one I can say, oh, man, which one would be good? Which one's even, like, good enough for radio for radio airwaves?
Ace Austin Shakespeare?
Ace Austin Shakespeare. But that one's like, do you guys know who? Okay. Do you know who Ace Austin is?
Yes, I do.
Yeah.
Whoa, okay. There we go. Look at that. Nice. So, Ace is a really good kid. Really good guy. And he's somebody who's super driven. He will just, like, hop in the car with anybody to try and go see a show, make connections. He's got a real passion for wrestling. It's awesome.
And awesome hair.
Yeah, and he's got pretty decent hair. And he works in Hot Topic. So there's one car trip where he's in the car. It's like me and Sammy Callahan in the back with him. And Sammy just says, "Yo, man, like, Your name, Ace Austin, it's so lame. Like, Ace Austin is such a lame name. Like, you need to have a different thing. You need to have a last name, like a real last name. It should be." And then Ace is like, "Yo, man, like, I came up with this character, like, when I was a kid, and I'm really doing my thing now, and I really like it." Like, yeah, like, they were like, "No, man, it's dumb. It's dumb. It's so stupid. Like, you can't just keep doing it. You're not going to go anywhere." And everybody's just Sammy for this. So, hey, man. So then Sammy just tries to think of all these different names, and he starts coming up with, like, I forget, he's like Ace Austin McAllister, Ace Austin Peterson, Ace Austin, like, he's just going off these random names. And then I forget how it even came to be, but Ace is also he's a theater actor. So then we came up with the idea of making him, because nobody uses it in real life or in wrestling ever, Shakespeare. And we're like, "Yo, you're an actor. You could do all this stuff. You could be Ace Austin Shakespeare. Like, what a great thing." And then you could always come out wearing the Shakespeare. So we're coming up, we're totally tearing this kid's dream of being this character he invented. It was all like, "No, dude, that sucks. Be Shakespeare. Like, go be Shakespeare." And he was so resistant to it. And then we're like, "Yo, what if you make that part of the character? What if you hate the fact that your last name is Shakespeare, but you know wrestling, and so you have to embrace it just because wrestling is, like, what if it's this, like, weird fourth wall kind of character in which you're doing a gimmick that you don't like because you know you have to have a gimmick? Like, what about that?" and then we just started repeatedly. He fell asleep in the car, and then we just started saying his name repeatedly of just Ace Austin Shakespeare. Ace Austin. You could look. You could definitely
subliminal.
Look up Ace Austin Shakespeare stuff, and you'd see it. Like, we did videos with, like, Phoenix and with Pentagon and with Joey Ryan, all doing the Ace Austin Shakespeare thing, and it's pretty good.
And folks, if you don't know who Ace Austin is, like, he has this actually really cool thing that he does. It's a gambit. He kind of reminds me of
Gambit. No, it's lame. It's lame. He's got to be Shakespeare. Don't let him be anything other than Ace Austin Shakespeare.
All right, I guess I have to. It's Ace Austin Shakespeare from now on. Like, if I have him come on the show,
anybody listening to this, find Ace Austin on Twitter and literally just tweet at him Shakespeare. That's it. Like, if everybody could just tweet Shakespeare at him, great. Every time he gets announced when I'm around, when he gets announced, he's like, you know, from here, 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 wait, this. Ace Austin
Shakespeare.
Just scream Shakespeare. Everybody.
Oh, that's fantastic.
He loved it.
He loved it. Well, David Starr, it's been an absolute pleasure having you on the show, man. Could you tell the folks at home where we can find you on social media and where we can see you wrestle next?
Absolutely. Well, where you can see me wrestle next will be on Friday. I'm in Chicago for AAW, in which myself and Trevor Lee, as a part of wrestling, we take on AAW heavyweight champion Ach, also known as ACH. This one guy you might have heard of, his name is Jushin Thunder Liger. So Liger gets the pleasure of stepping in the ring with myself and Trevor Lee, which is, like, you know, always warms my heart to make young kids' dreams come true. Then on Saturday, I'm at C4 in Ottawa. And then Sunday, I'm Beyond Wrestling, where I wrestle Josh Briggs for the first time ever. Really big, up-and-coming, big guy.
That guy's a beast.
Then on Monday, I'm back in the UK for Defiant, which will be in Leeds, in which I'm doing a triple threat match for the Defiant Internet Championship, which is me, Travis Banks, and Walter. Then my match isn't officially announced for Friday. For Saturday, next Saturday is WXW in London, where I will be wrestling for the WXW World Unified Heavyweight Championship, which will be me, Travis Banks, Walter, and Ilya Dragunov. The next day I'll be at Progress. The day after that I'll be back at Defiant. Those are my next two weekends of stuff.
That's your next two weekends? Holy shit, man. That's insane.
That's this weekend and the next weekend. Then, so as far as social media goes and stuff, go on my website, theproductds.com, which has direct links to my merchandise stores, bottomlinemerch.com/DavidStar, prowrestlingtees.com/DavidStar. Follow me on Twitter because I'm really good at Twitter, which at theproductds. That's also my handle for my Instagram and my Snapchat. I don't really use my Snapchat that often because they updated it and it's just atrocious. But my Tumblr, which I also literally only repost GIFs, theproductDavidStar. Search me on Facebook, just search David Starr, and you'll pretty much find me. You'll see the guy who has the really nice profile picture. If you want to book me, theproductDavidStar@gmail.com. Yeah, so sweet deal.
Hey, once again, thank you again for coming on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure, and hopefully we can get you back on again sometime in the future.
Yeah, it'd be great. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Yeah, you're welcome, sir. Have a good night, and good luck with your matches coming Friday.
Thanks. Everybody, remember, destroy down with mustard.
Mustard's great.
Shakespeare.
Down with mustard, Ace Austin Shakespeare. Yeah, sick.
Folks, if you're just tuning in, I feel sorry for you because you just missed one of the – I don't know about you, Lethal J, but this is probably one of my favorite interviews of all time.
Yeah,
David Starr, the product.
I agree.
Jordan tried to call in a couple times, and every time I answered it, it would hang up on him. I feel really bad.
I've had that happen before, too, back in the
so,
day.
So, Jordan, if you're listening, brother, I apologize. I tried to get you in, but it did not work out. But, yeah, David Starr, man, I don't say the guy's fucking hilarious and mustard.
Yeah,
he needs to be hashtagged.
Very colorful for sure. No, great interview. Funny guy for sure.
But guys, make sure you're checking this out. TheChairShot.com, where you can check out this episode, every other episode that we've done, and they have a lot more. We have a plethora, if I said that correctly, of podcasts that you guys. Yeah, what are they? Plethora. Means a bunch, an abundance. a podcast, opinion columns, review shows, everything that you guys need for pro wrestling, anything at all. We've got it at thechairshot.com. And we've got to give shout outs to our sponsors real quick. Of course, Squared Circle Apparel. Shout outs to Tim. He's doing great things over there. Go put in Serious Strategy promo code. You're going to get 50% off your order. High Q Hydration Energy. Check them out, liquidhiq.com. They're doing big things, and they're going to be hitting the shelves here real soon with their all natural energy drink. All the good, none of the bad, no crashes. Liquidhiq.com. And of course, our newest sponsor, Collar and Elbow. Make sure you guys are going to check them out. If you have not heard of them already, go to collarandelbowbrand.com. Check out all their, well, just awesome gear. They got some new stuff that just came out, spring line, if you will. And they kicked it up with the color. So go check them out. Put in the promo code SeriousBrad. Get that 10% off. And I just want to say thank you to those guys over there for giving me the opportunity to be part of something big. Lethal J, you haven't been on in a few weeks. There's a good reason, and I kind of want you to announce it on Pin the Shoulders podcast. What Lethal J, he's got something going. I kind of said a little bit about it last week or the week before, but I kind of want Lethal J to kind of give the official announcement.
Yeah, sure. I couldn't be happier, but recently found out that I'm going to be a father. So I mean, I can't explain how happy I am and everything. So we went to the doctors the other day, and we got to hear the heartbeat and everything, and everything's perfect. Brad, I couldn't be happier, man.
Well, you know, of course, I'm absolutely pumped for you, brother, and not only am I happy for you and your lady, Mrs. Lethal J, I'm just pumped that I'm going to have another co-host. So that's going to be awesome. Hey, man, we got some stuff to cover. You know, we got a lot of wrestling going on. We got the road wrestling. Hit me with some stuff, dude. I don't know if you've had time to check out any New Japan. Once again, you just made the United things going on. Is there anything you want to talk about? That you want to kind of update the listeners with?
I'm pretty much caught up with New Japan and everything right now. New Japan Cup's going on. Also, the 46th anniversary show happened, I think a couple weeks ago it was now and everything. A couple good matches on there. I got to see Okada and Will Ospreay square off. Okada, of course, won because that's what Okada does. But that was a really good match. New Japan Cup has been real, real good so far. Nothing super duper crazy, but there's been a few good matches. Michael Elgin and Ishii had a crazy, crazy match the first night. Ishii took one of the craziest bumps I've ever seen from Elgin. He gave him a crazy power bomb off like the top rope, and he landed like right on his head. Elgin was legitimately concerned because after he dropped him, he went for the pin, and him and the ref, Red Shoes, they just kind of chilled and was talking to him for a couple seconds because it was a scary bump, but it was a good, great match though. Couple powerhouses and everything. The big thing probably so far was the guy that, in my opinion, is going to win this tournament, Zack Sabre Jr., clean, in the middle of the ring, tapped him out clean, no interference, no nothing. So
really?
That was, yes, so that is, Zack Sabre Jr. is really picking up steam. He's beaten some big guys over, the past, I'd say, 6 or 7 months. He had a couple of really big wins in the, he had a couple of really big wins in the G1. I mean, he tapped out Tanahashi. I mean, he tapped out Naito now. I mean, he's my pick to win the cup. Actually, it's with him winning his match and with Ibushi beating Yoshihashi in their match, they're going to be squaring off. And in my opinion, whoever wins that match is going to win the tournament. So
definitely think it's going to be Zack Sabre Jr. I think this is going to be his year. He's, like I said, he's got a lot of steam behind him and stuff right now. So I think that's going to happen. Ibushi, of course, is in the tournament as well. He had a really good match against, like I said, Yoshihashi the same night Zack Sabre Jr. beat Naito, and it was probably the best Yoshihashi match I've ever seen. He's kind of a hit or miss guy for me, but he had a really great performance. I mean, if you're working with somebody like Ibushi, it's kind of hard to have a bad match. But so there's that going on. That's pretty much it. I mean, they've been kind of slowly chugging with different, like, nothing crazy like that pops right out as far as storylines and everything like that. But it's a good tournament so far. And of course, we got the big show coming up here. I think it's the 24th or something, 24th or 26th.
What show?
It's going to be the Strong Style Evolved show. That's the one that's going to be in Los Angeles. So that's the one that's going to have the Young Bucks versus the Golden Lovers, Rey Mysterio and Jushin Thunder Liger. Jay White's going to be defending his title. So that's coming up at the end of the month. The New Japan Cup finals, I believe, are the 21st. So at that point, once the 21st comes, we'll have an idea of the title picture kind of going forward and everything. Because whoever wins the New Japan Cup is going to get the course of the next shot at Okada, which I don't see Okada losing anytime soon. So, I mean, at least probably not until Wrestle Kingdom. That guy just, I don't know, that guy just can't lose matches. So, he's like the man right now, basically. But he's taken a hell of a beating over the past couple of years. He's got like a bad neck, and I mean, he's had those crazy matches with Kenny, the crazy match with Tanahashi.
Yeah.
So I think storyline-wise, I mean, something's got to give sooner or later here. So, but no, New Japan's good. Nothing, like I said, nothing quite so far this year that's blown my mind. But, I mean, very consistent so far this year. I mean, of course, it's a lot better than the WWE stuff as of late. But with that said, I'm actually kind of – I'm not saying that, you know, it's good. It's not good, but I think I think WWE is kind of headed in the right direction a little bit, you know, kind of. One thing I'm getting sick of is just these fucking gimmick matches, man. Just gimmick matches and just like, there's no such thing as a singles match anymore, I feel. Everything's a triple threat, a four-way, a five-way, a six-way, a fucking seven-way. It's just, I don't know, Jesus, but miss the good old. I know, I just miss the good old, you know, man versus man. not all this like interference bullshit where you have Shane McMahon like pulling people out of the ring and disrupting counts and doing all this bullshit.
Yeah, I know it.
I mean,
it's getting kind of annoying.
It's getting old.
Well, I feel what's going on with that is I think they want for it to get old. I think that
I
think that they're trying to push Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn as heels, obviously. But
right.
I think they're trying to push them to be the type of heel that the fans enjoy. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
Now
I think
what they're doing is they're trying to exhaust what Shane McMahon is doing, trying to make the fans just pretty much get to the point to where they don't like Shane McMahon and they start cheering for Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn. Because right now, to be honest with you, as far as reaction to them, it's very neutral. And what I mean by that is
it was pretty crazy. Like the SmackDown crowd the other night, they didn't have a reaction at all for anything. Like they didn't even cheer Daniel Bryan when Shane McMahon said Daniel Bryan. Usually they're all up his ass and everything.
Right.
Like the crowd reactions have been not good lately.
Yeah, I know, and I think what's going on this season, or this WrestleMania season, there's not that many surprises. WrestleMania season is known for just abrupt surprises, not just at the show, but you know, leading up to the show, and
yeah.
I think they just concentrated on just getting pay-per-views done.
Yeah,
just
kind of
like
you're very correct. They're just. I mean, they know that they make money with those, and they're just pumping them out.
Right, they're just pumping them out. They're just
things
like,
are
all
getting,
right,
things are getting slapped together. I mean, there have been some atrocious matches on the pay-per-views like so far, like this year. Luckily, I mean, since they've got people like AJ Styles, you know, people like that who can work pretty well, luckily, I mean, it offsets them enough. Usually it offsets the pay-per-views enough where you can kind of at least come out even, you know, and everything.
Right.
But, oh, God, there's been some horrid matches. I love where women's wrestling's been going lately and everything, but oh God, there's been some bad matches from them. The Matt Hardy Bray Wyatt thing is just fucking terrible. God, like that is just so terrible. Like their last match
Why?
They had at
I don't know,
man.
Bray
just like,
have you seen
yeah.
you've seen the compound matches from TNA?
No, I have not. Yes, I have seen those, and I'm real curious to see how that's going to go. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing that. But, oh, man, just like the last match they had at, what was it, Elimination Chamber? I hated it. It was terrible. I just, like this match would have been great a couple of years ago, like when that TNA stuff was going on, because that's when everybody
right.
wanted to see it. Like, you know, everybody was like, oh, man, it'd be great to see, you know, delete Matt Hardy, or excuse me, like the broken Matt Hardy, you know, with Bray Wyatt or whatever, and I was like, yeah, you know, like a year and a half, 2 years ago, I was like, man, that would be a great match and everything, and now it's just like, oh man, it's just I'm just not really liking it. I hope like you know, like the like when they did those compound matches in TNA, like that was like the story of the year. That like revived TNA for a while or whatever. Like that was like a big thing. You know, those guys were, I mean, he was huge over, you know, everything was going really well for them and everything. They were kind of digging TNA out of a hole that they damn near buried themselves in. And, I don't know, it lost some of the pizzazz, I hate to say, in my opinion, of course. I mean, I don't dislike it, but it's just not, you know, it doesn't have the fire it did a couple of years ago, you know?
I was really hoping to see Jeff Hardy come back in some form, but unfortunately, he got pulled over for a DWI. The WWE responded and said that, and I'm paraphrasing, that Matt Hardy's a big boy. He makes his own decisions, and we're still waiting for the information to come back from the police department that did it. Now
he also just got done with shoulder surgery as well, and. I guess everything went well. He actually posted something on Twitter. I think it was yesterday or something like that. And he didn't even say anything about the DUI or whatever it was that he got. But he said something about how his shoulder is no longer obsolete. That was part of it as well. But yeah, I'm kind of curious just to see, you know, with all the drama that wrestlers have been in. Especially lately, you know, over the past year or so, kind of curious how they're going to handle that.
Yeah, I am too, and I'm really hoping that they don't penalize him. I'm sure he'll be penalized in some form. He has to be.
Oh yeah,
they don't let that go. But I'm kind of hoping
they should What they should do is they should quote unquote suspend him now while he's healing. And that way, when he's back and ready to go, he can hop back into the wrestling ring. I mean, that dude's like Jeff Hardy. For as long as he's been around, God, like I'm trying to think. Like he's like a fairly young guy still. I mean, I think he just turned 40 like last year or something. Which I know isn't super young, but like. You know, kind of thinking about like Matt and Jeff Hardy. I mean, those guys have been around for, I mean, geez, I remember when they were the New Brood and they were hanging out with Gangrel and stuff like that. Like those guys have been around forever, and just it's kind of crazy to think like, you know, they're really not old compared to a lot of these other quote unquote old guys, you know, and everything. So I hope that they still have some miles on them. I know that they've, especially with their. you know, they're, you know, the brand of matches that they kind of go through and everything, they kind of have had it rough with what they've done to their bodies. But, you know, I hope he has a speedy recovery and he's back soon. I like them a lot more as a tag team, that's for sure.
Well, no, I agree with you 100%. And that's, you know, I really honestly hope that he, you know, obviously he's safe. He made the tweet and stuff like that. I hope it's just something that was just, he just misjudged the amount he was drinking or what he could handle, because he blew a .25
apparently, which is like three or four times like the normal amount. he was pretty far beyond gone. With that said, that's something I read on the internet, so I don't quote me on that. I mean, you know how shit like that can be or whatever. But from what I have read or whatever, he was pretty far gone when they got him. So, you know, I hope that, because like you were saying there, I know he's had problems in the past. So I hope that, you know, that's nothing. You know, I hope that's not resurrecting.
No, I mean either. You know, prayers go out to him and his family, and I hope all is good. And that this was just a bump in the road, and you know, we can move forward with it. There's a couple other things that, you know, that I'm kind of looking forward to WrestleMania. And we talked about this before the show, and you kind of like, yeah, whatever. Braun Strowman as the tag team champions.
Yeah, there's still talk going around that he's not going to, I mean, there's been kind of rumors that they're going to give him a partner. Like, I've heard that they might throw Elias, end up throwing Elias with him, strangely enough, which doesn't make a lot of sense. But yeah, like, I'm not going to lie, like, I would just love to see him just hold the titles by himself.
But you know what? You know what other tag team that didn't make sense either?
What was that?
The Bar. Sheamus and Cesaro,
oh,
man.
Yeah.
When they put those guys together, I was like, what the fuck is this? And now they're probably top 10, top 5 tag team in the world, as far as I'm concerned. I don't know about you, but I feel like they're definitely in that top 10 best tag team.
I'd say they're definitely in the top 10. Sheamus, excuse me. Nothing against Sheamus, but he's a little out of – he's probably getting a little close to being out of the prime that he was in, since he had an injury. Yeah, he's had a couple injuries over the years, but
– Well, yeah, he's Cesaro, also, diagnosed with that spinal stenosis, I think it is. Maybe I'm pronouncing it wrong. But I think he was diagnosed with that as well. He decided to keep wrestling.
Oh, yeah, that'll – Jeez, anything wrong with your spine, then that's a bad one. But Sheamus, in my opinion, though, Sheamus is one of the top 5 workers in the company, in my opinion.
Oh,
or not Sheamus, geez, I did it again. Cesaro.
I knew what you meant. Yeah,
he's one of the top 5 workers in the company. He's great. He's still strong as an ox, but I mean, geez, he looks like he's been in better shape, I guess, is what I'm looking for. Like, when he was in NXT, when he first came to WWE, that guy was he was huge, and he was shredded and stuff like that. I mean, like I said, the dude's still strong as hell. Pound for pound, he's probably the strongest guy in WWE. But, that touring schedule, man, once you can't get in that gym every day.
That's the truth, right? I mean, if you like lose 2 days off of your workout schedule, like for example, like I'll go through spurts where I work out, you know, 6 months straight. And then as soon as I decide to lay off for 1 to 2 days, I'm fucking done, dude. You ain't going to see me do nothing for another 6. You know what I mean? So I can't imagine what it's like for these guys.
Yeah, no, go continue.
No, I was just going to say, you know, these guys that are traveling on the constant and trying to meet schedules on the constant. And not every hotel has a workout gym, and beds are very inviting when you've worked all day and driven all day, jet lagged, whatever it may be. You know, let's see
for
here.
Sure.
A nice fluffy bed or dumbbells and you know, resistance training. Mm. Let's,
right. A perfect example of this, though, is the Big Show. Like, his scheduling got cut mad down, and he's in the best shape of his life right now, and the dude's in his 40s. Another guy that's actually a lot like that, too, is what's that?
You'd be one hell of a tag team partner if it was Braun Strowman. Yeah. They'd be unstoppable.
You know what I was thinking about? I was trying to think who the perfect tag team partner for Braun could be. And I thought about this situation where they say that they got somebody, like, you know, whoever comes out, but they're not going to tell Braun who it is until WrestleMania. And this can't happen anymore because of what's happened with this person or whatever. But, you know, just Braun comes down to the ring and he's waiting for his tag partner, and down comes James Ellsworth. It'd be perfect. It'd be like the perfect, like, full circle thing. You know, it would just be perfect. You know, that goofy looking no chin motherfucker come down to the ring, and then they win the tag title.
Oh,
I was thinking about that the other day. It was like the first thing that came to my mind. I was like, man, who would be a great tag team partner for him in this situation? And I was like, James Ellsworth, no doubt, hands down.
Jesus. I don't know, man. Big Show would be a good one. I'm trying to think of someone that would just, like, I mean, I feel like another, like a small, like James Ellsworth would be good because he's small. Like, kind of like one of those yin and yang type things, like kind of, you know, Enzo and Cass or Roman Reigns and Dean Ambrose or, you know, whatever.
I wouldn't be surprised if they go with the Elias thing. Elias needs to be on WrestleMania card, like, some way. I mean, and I don't mean, like, actually, I don't even know if they're going to do an Andre the Giant Battle Royal because they're doing the Mae Young one this year or whatever. Because that was announced. Cause, like, they haven't said anything about the Andre the Giant one. Like I said, they announced that there's going to be a Mae Young one. That's just the way to get all the women on the card.
Did you hear about that, though?
What's that?
Did you hear about the Mae Young thing or whatever, or the Moolah Rumble or whatever?
Is it Fabulous Moolah or Mae Young? Yeah, not the Mae Young. Yeah, Fabulous Moolah Battle Royal or whatever. It's
right.
The same thing as the Andre one, but with all the women and everything.
Right.
So, but like
and
I said, I haven't heard.
With that, though. There's controversy with that right now. Well,
I don't know. Okay, so if you know what it is, by all means, fill me in. But I've heard that there's supposedly some drama now around Fabulous Moolah.
Oh, yeah. Apparently she used to this is what I read. And, of course, once again, this is the internet. We don't really give credit to it. We just kind of repeat what we hear. But, I mean, if there's a huge enough follow on it, of course, it's, you know.
There's got to be some truth to it, yeah.
There's got to be some truth to it. Apparently, Fabulous Moolah, she obviously trained women and she, you know, managed women. And apparently, she would pimp out the women that she managed and trained. There's this woman, there's one woman that came forward saying that Moolah would get really upset with her and, you know, beat her up, I guess, or something. If she rejected men that were sent to her hotel room, it's pretty like she wouldn't pay attention to any of the injured women. If you got injured, you were literally thrown to the side. So I mean, there's a lot of controversy right now to giving her such a prestigious, reputable honor. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
that's really huge.
To have
that kind of dirt behind it, I don't know how legitimate people are going to take it if there's a story like that behind it. So I don't know. Maybe they'll keep it. Maybe they won't. Maybe they'll change it. They should call it, I don't know. Not to say that there's more deserving women. I'm not trying to gauge it, but there's definitely other women that they could name that tournament after. And I got to say something real quick.
Sure.
You mentioned
Ellsworth. And it's really weird because I looked over at my Twitter feed, and I don't remember, I don't know if you were on the show, but we had Kennedy Copeland on the show here a few weeks back. And
I think I missed that one, but anyway, yeah.
She just wrote, quick, somebody make me versus Ellsworth for an intergender championship happen. So it's really funny that you mentioned that. As soon as I look over, that's going. So shout out to Kennedy Copeland. If you guys don't know who she is, you need to know who she is. Go check her out. Is there anything else like let's go with WrestleMania surprises, because there's not much of it. We said there's not much of them. What's one thing that, you know, Lethal J would be pumped about? It's just like, please happen. My dream. I've got one, dude. I've got a fucking one. And it's not as you think.
I guess I can't say that there's one, like, you know, like, there's not really anybody. Like, well, I guess there is. Like, I would love, because in my opinion, they need to figure something out with him quickly, or he's not going to be with the company anymore. But I really want Daniel Bryan some way to be involved in it. It'd be cool for him to come down and, I don't know, just get involved in a match somehow. I know, like, it's unlikely to happen. But, you know, other than that, you know, I mean, geez, like, you know, I really can't. Because I've been thinking about this, so actually it's funny, because it's funny that you asked. But over the past couple weeks, I've been kind of thinking, you know, I've been kind of trying my best, obviously, with everything that's going on, to pay attention to the storylines, and I'm just trying to think, like, you know, I'm just like, you know, what could happen, you know, who could make an appearance, or who could come make a little surprise comeback or whatever. And see, sadly, man, I just can't think of anything. Like, the last one, and I legitimately did call this when it happened, the last one that I kind of called was a couple years back when Triple H and Sting had their match or whatever, and kind of how,
yep,
like DX and NWO came out or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, because I was talking with a friend like before that happened, and I was like, oh man, this is like, you know, they're really blowing up, like the NWO versus, like, kind of the DX thing, you know, WWF versus WWE. I was like, you watch. I was like, you know, like, NWO will show up and, like, DX will show up or some shit like that. And sure enough, something like that happened. But I just can't think of anything like that happening this year, you know? What about you?
It actually hit me. And I was kind of doing the same thing here the last couple of days. And I was like, who could come back and make an impact? People would be pumped. And dude, what the fuck happened to Samoa Joe?
Yeah,
I know.
I've definitely heard that as well, for sure. I've actually heard some talk of, like, okay, well, with all this shit what's going on with, like, Lesnar, and how it seems that he's not going to be around much longer, is, like, I've heard that, you know, like, Reigns is probably going to beat him. And I've heard some people say that Joe might show up after and, like, attack him or something. And that'll be, like, Reigns' first feud out of Mania, which I wouldn't have a problem with at all. I love Joe.
Oh, dude, Joe's the man. And I kind of hope when he does come back that they've been planning. Because, you know, don't get me wrong, I don't mind him as a thug. Or, you know, a thug for hire, or, you know, a corporate,
right,
man, you know, whatever it is, plan better. Make Samoa Joe exactly what he's billed as, and that's just,
right,
someone that absolutely does not care, has no refrain on anybody or emotions on what happens to anyone. He goes in, he puts the cocaine clutch on you, and he ends that shit quickly. And that's what I kind of,
right,
want to see. I want to see Samoa Joe come back, and I don't want to see him come back as a right-hand man or a hired hand. He needs to come,
right,
back. Just him taking on, for example, I don't know what Finn Balor's doing for WrestleMania.
Oh, he got fucking involved in that shit with The Miz. Okay, get this. Actually, while
that's
we're on the,
right,
subject,
yeah,
real quick. While we're on the subject real quick, I have to rant about this for a second. But – and I've ranted about this in the past on episodes and stuff like that we've talked about, but, you know, back when, I know you're a little bit older than me, Brad, but I mean, you grew up watching, just a little bit, but
just,
I mean,
you still grew up watching,
like, for me, when I was growing up watching wrestling, like, it was the Attitude Era. That was it for me. And I know that, you know, we've talked, obviously. I know that, obviously, you were pretty invested in it at that point, too. Like, back in that era, when I would watch a pay-per-view, every title was defended every pay-per-view. You were the Intercontinental Champion, if you were the European Champion, if you were the Hardcore Champion, Tag Champion, World Champion, it was very rare that the title wasn't defended, correct? I mean, right?
Yep, absolutely, every time, yep.
The Miz has not had an Intercontinental title match since, like, September. And I'm not even kidding. Like, you can look that up. It was, like, late September was the last time that motherfucker actually defended the title. And he's getting all, like, you know, and they keep talking about how, like, oh, he's going to surpass, like, you know, the Honky Tonk Man and all these people, all these, like, legends, like, you know, for the longest, like, you know, like, time that the title, like, total accumulated time that the title's been held. Well, the motherfucker hasn't defended it in 6 months.
Like, yeah, it's true. Right,
it's
exactly.
It's ridiculous. Like, I hope that it, like, you know, I would much rather see Finn Balor and Seth Rollins for the title, but you got to shove his athletic shitty ass in there. But see, the thing about it, the thing that frustrates me so bad about it is Miz is fucking piss poor in the ring. He's gotten much better over the years, but he's fucking terrible, in my opinion, compared to most. But the dude is such a great talker. Like, he's so good on the mic, and he's so good with his character. Like, he's like, you know, nowadays, like, being a wrestler isn't just, like, wrestling. Like, it incorporates so much. And I really hate to say this, but Miz is, like, a really good wrestler as a whole.
Oh, yeah, he's awesome. Yeah, yeah.
As far as his in-ring stuff, like I said, that's not that good, in my opinion. But, like, everything else about the guy, like, he does so well. He'd make a great manager. I hope he sticks in the business for, like, a long time, and I hope that he eventually does something like that. But anyway, that's my rant. I know I've complained about that before or whatever, but I'm like, Jesus, like, 6 months, dude. Like, how many pay-per-views has there been in between there for what is he on Raw? He's on Raw, right? Yeah. So, like, I mean, in the 6 month span, I mean, there's had to have been three or four pay-per-views. The dude never,
yeah,
ever defends the title. Like, when he got put into the Elimination Chamber match, I was just like, why? Why? He's got a title. Like, I mean,
what?
It's The Miz. Everybody knows he's not going to win. I mean, come on.
So who do you think is going to win?
That title, The Miz. The Miz will, something will happen. I can call the finish right now. Like, Finn Balor will hit the coup de grace on Seth Rollins or some shit, or Seth will hit the fucking curb stomp on Finn, and then The Miz will come in, push the motherfucker out of the ring, and then pin the guy that had the move done on him. That's like a classic thing. It's going to happen. That shit's going to happen. He'll bullshit his way to another win. Like, because in my opinion, I think they want him to, like, be that guy that has held the title. Like, I think, like, and because that's, I mean, I know he's had his WrestleMania moment and stuff like that, but, I mean, he's never going to have that again, so, in my opinion. Like, so, like, I think he'll win. I just think that's what's going to happen. Like,
you know,
I wouldn't put this by WWE at all unless somebody else gets added to the match.
Like,
which I can definitely
like
see happening.
Like Samoa Joe?
Yeah, I mean, like, If Joe did, then I mean, if Joe got added to the match, then I mean, Joe has to win.
He has to
win. If he doesn't win, then like, then if he doesn't win, then all that was a fucking waste, you know.
If I was Samoa Joe and I got brought to if I got brought back to WrestleMania, my return was to WrestleMania. That's great and all, but you need to win that belt. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if I was him, if I didn't win that belt, I'd be like, listen, fuck you guys, I'm gonna go and resurrect TNA.
Right.
He could do it.
While
too.
We're talking about, yeah, while we're talking about Mania, and let's talk about a couple more things real quick before we call it a night. But what's your thoughts on Cena calling out The Undertaker?
You know, first of all, you know, I'll be one of the guys to quickly snap judge John Cena. I'm not big on him. I'm one of those generations where Hulk Hogan was the face of pro wrestling, not John Cena.
Yep.
So I didn't really fall into that crevice.
That's the same thing for me, man. It was Stone Cold for me. So.
Right. Well, Stone Cold is one of those other people too. John Cena is an icon, but he's not mine. And
exactly.
He did really well. With that being said, he did really, really well with his spot on that. He sold it real well. He did the fan thing real well. He didn't do it too fast and too slow. He does his job extremely well. He sold it for me, and I like the fucking idea. What I hate the most. Is Undertaker not being at a WrestleMania. I know he's getting old,
know,
and everyone,
right?
It's a sad thing to think about. Everyone's, you know, saying, oh, it's time to get over, you know, Undertaker, leave him alone. But I'm sorry. I'm one of those clingy people. I don't like to say bye to, once again, icons that once, you know, what John Cena said, he played on his promo. He's like, you're not old. Don't use the excuse that you're too old. That you're run down, that you don't have it anymore. And the fact of the matter is, he does have it. But he needs to be with someone that is at a speed that he's at in his career. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Putting him in the ring with Seth Rollins is a stupid fucking idea. You know, when they put Sting in the ring with Seth Rollins, that was a stupid fucking idea. They should have just canceled that shit and put him in the ring with Undertaker once again. One of the biggest mistakes that they've ever made, and I will keep calling it out on any goddamn show that I have if it's brought up. But Undertaker needs to be with someone that can be at his speed, and I think John Cena can slow it down to where it doesn't look like he's trying to keep pace with the Undertaker. So I'm actually kind of excited to see that. One, that gives us Undertaker at WrestleMania. And to it possibly brings an end to John Cena being in the WWE for a little bit. I don't mind him not being around. I won't lie to you. One, it's just even he's getting bored with it. You know what I mean?
He'll take time off after Mania. He always does. He'll go make a couple fucking movies and go be host on TV shows for a while and shit like that. I mean,
by the way,
Kids' Choice Awards or some shit like that soon. So.
Yeah, and I just watched Daddy's Home 2, and John Cena, you're fucking hilarious in it. So I'm just saying, like he's doing something, and it's not shit work. But I like the idea of Undertaker being at WrestleMania. I like the idea of him being with someone that's going to be able to keep pace and keep him at a level that Undertaker deserves to be displayed at. And not completely destroyed, like, you know, obviously, like, you know, Brock Lesnar destroying his streak and stuff like that. So, at this point in his career, Undertaker needs to be brought back to the untouchable, the undead, the pillar of WrestleMania. And I think that John Cena got to do it.
I've actually heard, once again, these are rumors or whatever, but I've actually heard some rumors that he might show up as Biker Undertaker.
Yep, that's why they've been. I thought the same damn thing, dude. And it's perfect because John Cena pretty much. John Cena pretty much called him out as a bitch. You know what I mean?
Right.
That's pretty much exactly what he called him out as, and them's fighting words, brother. And I think that them displaying Chris Rock as, you know, Hall of Famer, what the fuck ever. That's a whole nother goddamn show. And you know what? We'll probably talk about that next week. We'll talk about some of the Hall of Famers that deserve and don't deserve to be inducted this year, and maybe some that from past years. I don't know. We'll talk about that. That will be a subject next week, listeners. we'll be talking about proper inductees into the Hall of Fame. But anyways, that'd be great, dude. Dead Man Inc. was one of my favorite gimmicks that the Undertaker had. It was easy to get behind. It was enjoyable. And who doesn't like motorcycles and Death is pretty much it. Motorcycles and I don't think he had a weapon or anything. I think maybe a
no.
A lead
he just
pipe
or... he just like to be. I mean, it's like
he had a lead pipe.
Yeah,
didn't he?
I mean that was like that was he just. Oh yeah, well I mean I guess he kind of did, but I mean he it wasn't like a permanent fixture. He just used to kick ass back. Like
right,
his,
exactly.
That was just his whole kicking ass persona, basically. Okay, yeah. So we talked about that, and I think the last thing I kind of want to talk about. Well, actually, we'll first off, I mean. AJ Styles and Nakamura. I mean that's a no-brainer. That thing's gonna that's gonna be a crazy ass match. If people have never seen their first match from New Japan, you go watch it and you go be amazed because that's one of my fucking favorite matches ever. It's crazy, a ridiculous
insane.
Match. But
it was
I don't
45 minutes.
Really
it wasn't
know
it,
if I what's that?
It was a 45-minute match or something like that, wasn't it?
That wasn't quite that long, but I mean, it was like close to a half an hour of just pure nonstop action. I mean,
right.
it was ridiculous. It was at Wrestle Kingdom 10. Yeah, Wrestle Kingdom 10. Because, But I got to talk about this because I don't even remember if I've really talked to you about this since it's happened. Cause it's been a couple weeks since I've been on the show, but Ronda Rousey.
Oh, come on. I'm just starting to like her. What's going on?
Oh, man. Ronda Rousey. She had one of the most cringeworthiest things ever when she came down to that ring at the Elimination Chamber and she pointed to the sign. Oh,
yeah.
My God, dude. I cringed so bad. And then she delivered which was one of the worst looking Samoan drops I've ever seen in a wrestling match
painful.
Ever.
It looked painful.
It was so terrible. It was so awkward. Oh my God! Like I mean, I'll give it to Stephanie for taking it like a woman. I don't want to say man, like a woman, because it was just so bad. I mean, I guess I kind of get this. You know, storyline and everything. I was kind of hoping just for a singles match between Kurt and Triple H because I knew that was the plan for a while. I mean, at least once again, from what I've read online, that was going to be the plan for a while going to Mania. But it works. This way, like if Ronda like gets like in a little over her head in the ring, like I mean, they can at least option out of it. You know, if she's really sucking ass in there, at least she can tag out. You know.
Right. Well, this is what I like about the idea. I love the idea of Triple H wrestling. I fucking love the man. I enjoy seeing Triple H. Stephanie McMahon, she's taken the craft and really done something with it. She's just not a rich girl, you know, daddy's girl. I own the company. I'm part of the company. You know what I mean? I'm the fat. She's really taken it and made it easy to follow her.
Right.
So I like them. And of course, Kurt Angle, he's the man. But of course, Ronda Rousey still needs to be sold. Everyone likes the idea of a UFC, the number, you know, the first welterweight women's champion. That's all very cool and all, but she still needs to be sold in the ring because there's many outsiders, people that have been outside the industry that have come in and people have been excited about it and they've just not gone anywhere. So I think this is the perfect match to kind of allow people to be sold on Ronda Rousey. Because obviously we're already sold on Triple H. We're already sold on Kurt Angle. Like you just said, them two alone would be, you know, an awesome main event as far as I'm concerned.
That would be a great marquee match for sure.
Yeah, but
I'm just really worried about, like, I hope that she's putting in some work in, like, the gym. And as far as, I mean, wrestling, I mean, wise. I mean, she's obviously in great shape. I mean, she's a UFC fighter. But, oh God, dude, I'm really worried about that match, because like with all this shit going on with Lesnar and how he's probably gonna leave the company and all this shit, like in my opinion, they're gonna really start to do because one thing that you don't do to Vince McMahon is
piss
you him fuck
off.
Him over, yeah, right. And piss him off. And I think that that's kind of happening. So in my opinion, like, I mean, I don't even know if Reigns in Lesnar is going to main event like I thought it was going to. I don't think so. When Styles was competing at Fastlane in the six-pack challenge, like, they made it seem like that was going to be the main event, was Nakamura and AJ Styles, which it should be, wrestling-wise, from a wrestling fan's perspective. That sure as hell should be the main event. But, like, I think that they're really going to downplay the Roman Reigns and Lesnar match. Like, I think, like, the... Like, I think, like... I definitely don't think it's going to go on last, and I think it'll probably even go on before the Triple H and Kurt and Ronda and Stephanie match, because I think that they're going to push that over the Lesnar match now, because like I said, I mean he's going to be signing back with UFC, so it's kind of just going to be like, well, you're fucking leaving, so well, basically fuck you.
Right. Well, that's the thing. I feel that Brock Lesnar, at this point in his career anyways, he's probably, I don't know, a couple years out for retirement.
I don't know. It blows my mind that he potentially wants to go back to UFC, dude. That guy's got it made in the fucking shade. I mean, it's literally the storyline that they're going with. Like, dude, the dude works, like, a handful of dates. The dude's making a lot of money. I mean, he probably could make more money in the UFC, but I mean, for what he has to do in the WWE, like, that dude has just got the most cushiest thing. I mean, like I said, you might work like 20 days a year, literally. He's going to hit all the major pay-per-views. And then at least a Raw or two, you know, around those or whatever. So, I mean, really looking at it, that's like, he might work like legitimately like 12 days a year. I mean, I don't know how many shows he was on, but I mean, they keep saying that he's supposed to be on. And I mean, obviously it could be storyline, but I've also read some things saying that it's not the day after Reigns won Elimination Chamber or whatever. From what I've read, is he was actually supposed to be on that Raw show or something like that. I don't know what exactly it was. Like I said, it could be storyline. Yeah, but I'm like that dude, he don't give a shit. he doesn't need to.
I mean, well, that's the thing. It's really funny though. Roman Reigns was cutting his promo. It was like, you know, Brock Lesnar doesn't care, blah, blah, blah. He doesn't, you know,
right.
He has no respect for anybody. He has, you know, blah, blah, blah. And then as soon as Roman Reigns, like, you watch it, dude. Like, go back and watch it. As soon as Roman Reigns calls Brock Lesnar a bitch, if it was just a fucking a work or not, as soon as Roman Reigns said that, he looked fucking scared. He's just like, bitch, and then, like, instantly, like, his brain was like, did you just fucking say that out loud?
Yeah.
Like, you just...
I haven't been watching the weekly stuff. I mean, I'm trying to keep up as best I can and everything, but it is, because from what I've read, obviously they're trying to push him once again, trying to miraculously push him as the face, kind of, as, like, he's trying to take the sides of, like, the fans and being like, well, Lesnar doesn't care about you and this and that. Is he still he's still getting booed? Is he still getting booed for all this? In the meanwhile, like when he says all this shit, you know, is he still getting booed?
He's, you know what? It's really funny because it's actually really mixed right now.
Is it? Yeah, because I kind of thought I was like, because if anything would piss me off, it would be if I was gonna go to a WWE event, get to see Brock Lesnar, and then I didn't get to see Brock Lesnar. I would be fucking pissed. I wouldn't fucking like Lesnar anymore. So I was thinking about that, and I was like, this is either, like, Lesnar doesn't give a shit, or this is a really, really good work. Like, a really good work. And it actually might... It's not going to get him over, but it might get him some fans, you know, or whatever.
Well, I mean, he was caught taking pictures with Dana White or whatever in Vegas the night of the show, and... You know, blah,
in Vegas or whatever.
So, I don't know. So if it's a good work, then it's a damn good work, because that means
you
got Dana in on it.
Yeah, right. My guess is that this was something that I think it's a work, but I think it was like a rewrite work. Like, I think that shit happened, and they were like, all right, let's just roll with this shit. They were probably pissed off about it, but they were like, all right, well, this should piss some people off. Let's see if we can get fucking Roman Reigns over with this garbage nonsense. And I was like, ah, shit, that actually might work a little bit. And apparently, it might. So we'll see what happens, though.
Well, folks, I mean, if you're just tuning in, me and Lethal J, we had an awesome interview with the product, David Starr. And I'm not joking with you. Lethal J probably has his own opinions on it, probably close to the same as mine, but definitely one of the best interviews. Literally, I feel like he interviewed us more than we interviewed him.
Yeah, no, for sure.
And that's,
he was great.
It was one of the best. So, folks, make sure you're going to check it out on thechairshot.com. And do us a favor, follow us, like us, subscribe to us, do all those awesome things that make us go, ah, thank you, and make us all warm in our hearts and stuff like that. And give us your comments. I know, you know, in this fast paced world where you're just, you know, all you do is just scroll. Take a second, hit the like and say something. You know what I mean? Give us a comment. Tell us if you like it. Tell us if you don't like it, because, you know, if we're doing something that you don't like and we don't know about, that means we can't change it. And we definitely want Pin the Shoulders podcast to be one of the main shows that you guys listen to when it comes to interview shows and professional wrestling talk. So do that for us. Go check out the chairshot.com. Go check out our crew and, just say hi. I don't think there's anything else really. Lethal J, is there anything else you want to shout out or?
No, but
I think we've covered quite a bit.
I think we talked just about everything in Mania. I hope that what Shane made, Shane yesterday before Owens and Zayn kicked the shit out of him, as he made a match for those two. I hope that that happens, because other than Styles and Nakamura, that'll be the best match on the card. Because they were kind of teasing Owens, like being in like the Andre the Rumble or whatever, but
right.
I hope that's a singles match, and I hope that that's not on the pre-show or some bullshit, and I actually give them some time. But
no,
I think that's pretty much it.
That'll be a damn good match. Absolutely.
That will
Anytime
be a very good match. Yeah.
Right.
That has the potential to. It could steal the show. Right? Those guys have obviously done. I mean, anybody that's seen any Kevin Steen, El Generico match, or hell, even their match from a year or two ago. I don't even remember what it was, what pay per view it was at. But I mean, they've had some crazy matches over the years. So, that's pretty much it. WrestleMania is actually looking like it might be not that bad this year. So hopefully, I guess we'll find out in another couple weeks.
Yes, sir. And, you know, next week, guys, I won't lie to you. I don't know who our guest is going to be, but I promise you you'll know about it as soon as we find out because, well, Serious Brad has not been doing very well on putting things on his calendar. We do have a guest. I just don't know who the heck it's going to be. But I promise you it's going to be awesome. It's going to be good. We'll probably get Jordan our Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling correspondent back on next week. So we'll get you the skinny on what's going on with Ring of Honor and Impact Wrestling. And of course our New Japan correspondent, my man Lethal J, we'll probably have a little bit more for you on that. And we'll hear you guys and speak to you guys next week. Just thank you for tuning in. We really appreciate it. You guys are fucking awesome. Thank you again to David Starr. Thank you for an awesome interview. Check out thechairshot.com to listen to this episode. It will be up tomorrow. And folks, from Lethal J and I, smooches. And remember, it's never a bad time to be serious.
Why should you visit thechairshot.com? Thechairshot.com is your home for hard-hitting reviews, news, opinion, and analysis. With attitude. Why? Because you're smarter than the average fan. TheChairShot.com. Always use your head.